November 4th, 2008. Barack Obama defeats John McCain, becoming the first black president of the United States.
Mother and Son by Jason Reynolds. It started early, maybe 6 in the morning. We'd each drunk a half cup of coffee, but there was surely no time to finish because we had to go. My mother put on her hair and lipstick, gold earrings and perfume, but no heels, not even short ones, not on this day. She knew we'd be standing. We left the house, the crisp air of November greeting us, and walked the half mile in the autumn orange toward Potomac High School. But halfway there, maybe not even halfway, we met the end of the line. "All y'all waiting to vote?" my mother asked a young woman, the anchor before us. The woman nodded. For weeks, the whole neighborhood had been buzzing. The gas stations and barbershops, the mail carriers and preachers, everyone gabbing about Barack Obama. And we all had shown up as if he'd be waiting for us at the school, as if he'd be the one handing out the confirmation stickers, as if we were voting for a family member, and this was an overdue reunion. Kids were everywhere, some running around playing, others sitting high on the shoulders of young fathers. Elders, like my mother, inching forward with canes and walkers, unwavering smiles smeared across their faces. Dr. Henderson, a neighborhood legend, was there doling out his signature three-fingered handshake. He'd lost two fingers in a lawnmower accident, a story he loved to tell kids. The knuckleheads were there. The nerds were there. The nosy neighbors and never-talk-to-nobodies, all there, together. Music, dancing, jokes, snacks. There was order, inch by inch, respect, person to person, and a palpable pride that seemed to tilt the chins of thousands of black people toward hope. It took hours. My mother and I got home in the middle of the day and sat at the kitchen table to confer. I pulled out a small recorder I'd purchased just for this occasion. "I can't believe I just did that," my mother said. "I voted for a black man who might actually win." She turned the TV on. "He'll win." I pushed record. "Baby, I've been alive a long time, and I know more about America than you ever will. They'll do anything to discredit us. Say we're not human until they can't anymore, then they'll say we're not American. Say we're not smart, and if we are, then they'll say we're too arrogant. So if there's one thing never guaranteed to us here, it's victory." While we finished our coffee, I asked her questions about how this felt after having been a child in South Carolina in the 50s. She mentioned her memories of Emmett Till's murder and coming of age in Washington, D.C., and she recounted being at the March on Washington. "But this," she said, flipping through the channels before landing on the news, "this is different." It was late, close to midnight. It had been a long day of standing, then sitting, and now my mother was lying in bed. And instead of spending this moment in a bar with friends, I lay next to her, my arms wrapped around her torso like a chrysalis while watching her transform. And like an apparition, the first black president took the stage, along with his black wife and two black daughters. I could feel my mother's blood, pressed my ear to her neck and could hear her heart, breath caught in her throat, and she broke open and wept the tears of the family members I'd never know and for the ones yet to come. But her heart seemed to do an opposite thing. It seemed to slow, to beat and rest, a peaceful thump in my ear, a metronome of new potential. And no matter how short-lived it would all be, I knew, without a doubt, it was a sound I'd need to remember.